And now, to round out the show, as we always do in the final hour of every Friday live broadcast of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora here on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT and on WakeUpCallDT.com, it's time for some fantasy football coverage of the NFL in Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy meets reality. Create the game we've come to know and love. Here now with his analysis of the players affecting your teams around the world is Dan Tortora in Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy Football Friday here with myself, Dan Tortora, and Mike Sofka. As you all know, Florida is my second home. The state of New York is where I was born. It's where you will find me most of the time, but a lot of the time you'll also find me down in Florida. And I love them both very, very much. And Mike, being down in the state of Florida, and Mike and I met down there starting a fantasy football league years ago that is now 7 years strong. So I'm happy to have Mike come on every single week on Fridays in the last hour of the show to discuss fantasy football of every single upcoming matchup for the week. Mike, how you doing today?
Awesome. How you doing?
Doing well. And to go quickly to the game that happened most recently, the game that happened last night, first Week 7 game, and that was the Bears up against the Packers. What were your biggest takeaways fantasy football-wise from this game?
Well, apparently the Packers don't need a running back to beat the Bears. Ty Montgomery did a fine job, but if you were in a PPR league, you racked up with Ty Montgomery because he was catching balls out of the backfield. But this is a guy who played running back in both high school and college, and this is a guy who can just step in when they need a running back real quick. They activated Don Jackson, but he hurt his hand in the second quarter there, and his status is unclear. And Niles Davis seems to be the only other healthy running back on the roster. But Brian Hoyer going down with the broken arm last night really kills the Bears. I don't think Matt Barkley's ready, and I'm not sure Jay Cutler will be ready to come back next week. So there's a lot of injury question marks on last night's game, but unbelievable. You can win the game in the NFL without a running back. It's great.
Yeah, well, you know, I really don't think that the Packers have needed Eddie Lacy that much. You know, fantasy-wise, his numbers, I don't think, hold a candle to a lot that are out there. So I'm not surprised that they won this game. I went back and forth with whether or not you should play Aaron Rodgers in this game just because of some of the things that he has done recently. But he ended up with 3 touchdowns to no interceptions. And I did say to play Devontae Adams. He had 2 touchdowns, led the team with 132 receiving yards. Randall Cobb, I said to play as well if he was healthy, and he was out there playing. So big respect and big ups to him. Jordy Nelson, 1 catch, 9 yards, that's it. On the other side for Chicago, nothing to write home about. And, you know, Jordan Howard, a quiet night for him as well, as the Chicago Bears offense continues to struggle and struggle now into their third string quarterback. So Chicago is a team to stay away from. I think that that's very clear. And Devontae Adams has shown up the last few weeks, so that's a good thing for fantasy owners. We're going to go down the line here and spend a few minutes on each to round out the show. Sunday, October 23rd, there's a slew of games at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time because they will be playing in London. The Giants and the Los Angeles Rams will face off in London. What do you think about this game?
Well, it looks like Jennings is going to be back at running back, but I don't grade him as a high play this week. The top guys that I see going in this game for the Giants are Eli at 15, a QB 15. So if you need somebody around a QB2 spot or a fill-in or something for Cam this week, Eli would do just fine. ODB, I got him at number 4. He did have his little breakout there a week ago, so hopefully he's back on track. I'm not going to give up on Todd Gurley yet on the other side of the ball. I got him rated as number 5 running back this week. You know, I don't think there's much else to toot your horn about with the Rams. Even Tavon Austin's touches have been slipping a little bit. Case Keenum isn't anybody to start. So, you know, maybe one of the defenses here, either side of the ball. But pretty much the big takeaway here is ODB, and that's going to be your big play of the game.
Yeah, you know, I think Odell Beckham Jr., despite all of his antics, obviously, you know, it kind of reminds me of Terrell Owens because he has a lot of antics, but then he goes and plays strong out in the field, so you have to give credit to him where credit is due. Eli Manning against LA, could be a good thing for him. 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions against Baltimore. But, yeah, definitely Odell Beckham Jr. There's not a lot else to speak on. Sterling Shepard in his rookie season has gone up and down and hasn't consistently been worth a lot of good numbers there. Todd Gurley, I would look to him and give him an opportunity. Kenny Britt has really not been bad for the Rams this season. So I would say maybe Kenny Britt as a flex position, Todd Gurley for the Rams on the other side to play. And then you could consider Eli Manning. I like Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know anybody that wouldn't like Odell in this upcoming game that these teams will be going into early in the morning. So remember that you set your lineup, because if you have to set it right before each game is played, make sure you set up your Rams and Giants before 9:30 a.m. Eastern time this Sunday. The next game to talk about, New Orleans at Kansas City. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think Mark Ingram's a good play here. I think anybody on the Saints are a good play. But I actually like the other side of the ball, too. So breaking it down, Ingram, I got him as a running back 2 this week, number 13 overall. Drew Brees, top flight quarterback, QB1 all the time. And Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver 2 at 14 overall on the wide receivers rankings. But if you're looking for a quick fill-in, like if you have Cam or if you had Roethlisberger go down, Alex Smith may still be available out there, and that's a good matchup against the poor Saints secondary. And believe it or not, I got Spencer Ware graded a little better than Jamaal Charles this week. I got Spencer Ware at 8 because he's able to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. I'm not sold that JC is back all the way yet. I got him ranked at number 20. And, of course, to take advantage of that poor Saints secondary, Jeremy Maclin's a good play. He's a wide receiver 1/wide receiver 2 this week. And, of course, you can't forget about Travis Kelce. He's always a play.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this matchup that we have between these two teams, this week, you know, when you look at New Orleans at Kansas City, I think that it's easy on New Orleans side, obviously, to say Drew Brees. Mark Ingram is somebody who I don't know how well of a game he's going to have. I think it might be more through the air. But Brandon Cooks, I like Kobe Fleener. I really do. He's scored for me in big ways and at very, very opportune times for me. So I do like that on the side of New Orleans. On Kansas City side, Alex Smith isn't a bad one. You know, Mike is right in this case because of the fact that he's going to be going up against a team that doesn't have a secondary and doesn't really have a lot to stop you with. Spencer Ware, I'd still put him out there. Jamaal Charles, you know, Mike said I don't know if he's back 100% yet, and that's the exact same way that I felt last year, and he wasn't back 100%. So I think Spencer Ware and potentially Alex Smith, it depends on who you have at quarterback, to give an opportunity to in this game. But I like the Saints. There's a lot of good Saints out there to put in this game. So if you're digging deep, Michael Thomas, maybe you dig somewhere there. But Brandon Cooks, Kobe Fleener, I like them. And like I said, Mark Ingram, I question how good of a game he will have against the Chiefs, but I do like the passing game, and obviously with Drew Brees. The next matchup to go to is Indianapolis at Tennessee. What do you think about this one?
Well, I think there's a lot of strong plays in this game. I think there'll be a lot of scoring. I think, surprisingly, though, it's going to be from the Tennessee side of the ball. I think it's a great game for DeMarco Murray. He's the number one overall running back this week. Delonte Walker, of course, is going to get his touches and some jet sweeps. He'll run the ball and he'll catch the ball. He's the number 5 tight end this week. And Marcus Mariota cracking the top 10 here. He's a QB1 this week. But there's a QB1 on the other side of the ball, too, and Andrew Luck, and he's going to connect with T.Y. Hilton, provided he's healthy enough to play. He's been dinged up a little bit this week. But I got those guys both ranked at number 5, QB1 and wide receiver 1 to start. And Frank Gore sneaking in as an RB1 this week, too. So there should be some fantasy points put up this week in this game.
Yeah, you know, when I look at Tennessee and kind of where they're at with everything, I like Marcus Mariota. I've liked him the last few weeks. He's scored, I believe he is at least 6 touchdowns to 1 interception in the last couple weeks. I like DeMarco Murray. He's consistently gotten you into the end zone, and he's catching the ball out of the backfield. So Tennessee, I kind of go with those two at this point. I'm going to stick there. I'm not going to go really outside of that. For the Colts, as far as where they stand right now, in their most recent game, to take a look at some of the numbers, Andrew Luck, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I don't know if I would lean on him, but this is a divisional game, and sometimes he'll play up for a game like this. Frank Gore, not a bad go for this. And Doyle did catch a touchdown pass but he hasn't. There's been a huge gap from the beginning of season to where, you know, catching that touchdown recently. So it's hard for me to lean on anybody for Indy predominantly above other people. I know T.Y. Hilton, it's like, how can you say no? But, you know, maybe Frank Gore, T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck, I think, will play up for this game. But ultimately, I think Marcus Mariota will have a good game, and I think DeMarco Murray will as well. Minnesota at Philadelphia, what do you got for this?
Well, it's amazing what Minnesota's been able to do this year so far without their top players. This will be a challenging game for them, except for running the ball. I think they'll be able to run the ball effectively against the Eagles. Pass the ball, not so much against that secondary, but run the ball they will with McKinnon and Asiata. If you have one of those guys are good to sneak in for an RB2 or a flex on Asiata, probably get a goal line touch and receive the ball a little bit. Bradford and Wentz, I'm not that high on this week. I think that's going to kind of balance out. I wouldn't start either one of those guys if I had a better option. Ryan Matthews has just about disappeared this year. I got him barely sneaking in at RB3 status this week. You know, so I don't know what else to say about Minnesota other than they've been putting wins together. Their defense has been outscoring their offense. So if you have their defense, definitely start them. But I don't look for a lot of fantasy points in this game.
Yeah, you know, I feel like this is a game that could end 17-13. I mean, it kind of has the feel of being something like that, and that could be some ground and pound. So Matt Asiata, Jerick McKinnon, if you have an opportunity to pick one of those guys up, or you want to throw them in there as a third running back option, or if you have guys off or you have injuries and you need a running back at that secondary position for you, so either an RB2 or a flex. Not a bad choice to throw one of those guys out there against the defense of Philadelphia. Not bad to play Minnesota's defense as well. As far as the passing game, it's up in the air. There's really nobody consistently that you can go to fantasy-wise for Minnesota. And then on the other side, with the Philadelphia Eagles, Carson Wentz most recently, no touchdowns, no interceptions, and completed 50% of his passes for 179 yards. I leave him on your bench this week. Ryan Matthews, I don't think, is going to have a good game. And Jordan Matthews has been underwhelming as a receiver. Dorial Green-Beckham has been as underwhelming in Philadelphia as he was in Tennessee. So probably stay away from Philadelphia this week. But Asiata, not bad. Jerick McKinnon, not bad option to put one of those guys out there. And maybe the defense of Minnesota, I think, is one that I would safely put out there for this week. And then moving forward into the next matchup, we have Cleveland at Cincinnati. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, this one should be a lot of Bengals in this one. So if you have a Bengal, go ahead and start them. They're probably going to score against a weak Cleveland team. Although Cleveland has had its bright spots with Terrell Pryor, it's a question mark as to whether he's going to play this week or not. But he's the guy that can receive the ball, throw the ball, and run the ball. So it's good to have a dynamic player like that that can score from all angles for your fantasy team. Isaiah Crowell appears to be one of the two guys to own. Although it's been up and down and back and forth, Isaiah Crowell appears to be the one out of the two. Duke Johnson, you can leave on your bench. But on the other side of the ball, Giovanni Bernard, he's a strong wide running back too this week. And, of course, Andy Dalton's a strong quarterback one, and so is A.J. Green. These are top three players here in their position. So if you have one of those guys, you definitely want to start them.
Yeah, it's tough with Cleveland because Terrell Pryor missed two practices in a row, and the quote was, if they can't run, they won't be able to play. So you have to definitely watch that one very closely and see what's going to happen with Terrell Pryor. He's hands down easily been the best offensive player for the Cleveland Browns. If he's not okay, then there's really nobody for me to tell you to put out there. On the Bengals side of things, though, Andy Dalton's going to be playing a terrible, terrible defense. So this bodes well for him. Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, not a bad choice to start them. Normally I would say no, because unless you have the two of them, one of them ends up hurting you. If you have Giovanni, Jeremy has a better game. If you have Jeremy, then Giovanni has a better game. So it's kind of a toss-up, but I think A.J. Green, I think Tyler Boyd, who you can sneak in and bring in off of the free agency opportunity if you want to go out there and pick somebody up for this week. I think A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill, Andy Dalton, I'd play the house for Cincinnati because Cleveland is Cleveland, and it's unfortunate. Washington at Detroit, what do you think about this?
Oh, I like the Lions in this one. Although, you know, there's not a lot of lot of players here. There's a few players that you can play. Stafford's definitely a QB one this week, and Marvin Jones has been getting it done as well week after week, so you can't argue with what he's doing. He's definitely a wide receiver one. On the other side of the ball, Kirk Cousins should be all right. He should be a bottom end QB one this week. And of course, I like Matt Jones as a low end RB two this week. It's just a matter of, are they going to be able to continue to run the ball? Because it looks like your best weapon against the Redskins is to pass the ball. If that happens, if Deshaun Jackson is healthy, that's going to be a good thing, because it looks like Jordan Reed is going to be back in the concussion protocol. There's a lot of unanswered questions saying he's been hiding a concussion from the team. He's a dynamic player, and they like to try to get him the ball. So if you're in a situation where you have to get somebody to fill in, look for Vernon Davis, who picked up the slack for him. He's probably not going to get a ton of touches, but, you know, he may score a touchdown, and the Lions are going to give him up to the tight ends here. So definitely some fantasy points if you play the right guys in this game.
Yeah, you took the point right out of my mouth. Vernon Davis is somebody for the Washington Redskins I would put out there in this game. He had two catches most recently for 50 yards, though, and a touchdown. So this is a good situation for him to be in as far as it goes for the Washington Redskins. And another good go is Matt Jones at the running back position for the team. 135 yards most recently and a touchdown for the Skins. On the side of Detroit, Dwayne Washington still questionable with an ankle injury. Theo Riddick with his ankle injury is questionable as well. So you have to be very watchful of Detroit and where they're at right now as far as their running game goes. But playing Matt Stafford is a given. This man has been able to throw to somebody, and it's worked out. Mike mentioned Jordan Reed, concussion, didn't take part in practice yesterday, Thursday. And Deshaun Jackson didn't practice on Thursday as well with his shoulder injury. So if I'm on the Redskins side, I'm saying Matt Jones and Vernon Davis. If I'm on the side of the Lions, definitely Matt Stafford. Golden Tate, I know he's coming off of a good game, but he's consistently extremely inconsistent. So, you know, if you have Golden Tate or Anquan Boldin, you got to put him out there in a flex position. You have an extra space, maybe that's something to do. Marvin Jones as well, a thought, because Washington's defense isn't phenomenal, and you know that Matt's going to throw to somebody. So not bad to have a Detroit wide receiver out there, but better to have the quarterback in Matt Stafford, I should say, if you have him. Oakland at Jacksonville, what do you think about this one?
This is that old West Coast team coming to play a 1 o'clock game, so this could bode well for Jacksonville. They've been waiting to piece it all together, and Oakland secondary might be just weak enough for Jacksonville to do something this week. So I'll be at the game. I should be on the field. It'll be a good thing. It'll be a fun time. But I look forward to seeing some points put up by Blake Bortles. Of course, I got him ranked as a QB1 this week. Allen Robinson. Definitely a wide receiver one this week, and Julius Thomas sneaking in there as a tight end too. On the other side of the ball, you got Derek Carr. Of course, he's going to be a top quarterback, and Amari Cooper. How can you leave him out of the mix? Looks like committee running back situation on both sides of the ball, so I'd be tepid there, but looks like they're going to air it out a little bit going both directions, so there should be some fantasy points in this game.
Yeah, as it stands right now, Latavius Murray with a turf toe practiced again on Thursday. He is questionable, but should be good to go for the Oakland Raiders. And then as far as Jacksonville is concerned, just to take a quick look at any injuries that might affect you here. Julius Thomas, ankle injury, was limited in practice on Thursday. He's questionable. And Allen Hurns did not practice on Thursday due to a shoulder injury at the wide receiver position for the Jaguars. But in this game, Raiders-wise, Derek Carr, not a bad play. I don't know if this is the best week to play him. If you have him or Bortles, I would go with Blake Bortles. So that's kind of how I look at it as it stands right now. Amari Cooper, you can't keep him off the field. So Amari Cooper, I like. Michael Crabtree, he's a thought as well. One of those guys that could sneak in on the Jaguars secondary, who's getting better. But definitely this week is going to show if they can have some consistency. So I would consider Crabtree, Amari Cooper, put him out there. Derek Carr, it depends on what you got. And you can always send your thoughts on Twitter at CallDT, that's C-A-L-L-D-T, to me. Or you can go online to wakeupcalldt.com. And if you have a fantasy football question, you could send it. Or you could go to HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com and ask Mike as well. Blake Bortles, I like him in this game. I am not opposed to Chris Ivory in this game. The ground and pound way about it might be beneficial. I don't know how many yards he's going to get you, but I think he might find his way to the end zone. I think he kind of sniffed it out this time around. Allen Robinson, a good play for this game as well. And Julius Thomas, not bad. You know, Mike brought him up, and if he's healthy enough to go, you know, we'll see where he could go from here. But I would lean on Allen Robinson, and Marquise Lee wouldn't be a bad flex position guy if Allen Hurns is not a go for the game. But as it stands right now, you know, I think it's safe to say that a Chris Ivory and Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles, good for you for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Going into the next game, we have Buffalo at Miami. What are your thoughts on this one?
Buffalo and Miami, this is another one of those games where you wonder if the quarterbacks are going to show up or not. You know, I wouldn't be in a rush to start either one of these guys. I would be starting Tyrod ahead of Tannehill if I had to choose between one of the two of them. But it was nice to see a spark out of the offense from Jay Ajayi last week with the Dolphins. I don't have any of those guys ranked really high. I think Jarvis Landry is probably the highest ranking player on the Dolphins at 15. He's wide receiver 2 this week. Be interesting to see if they can get him the ball in space so he can do what he does. But a sneaky play this week, especially in daily fantasy, is Mike Gillisley, because it looks like LeSean McCoy tweaked that hamstring in practice and he's going to miss at least a week. So Gillisley is real affordable, especially in daily fantasy. He's probably not out there if you're looking to pick him up, but you might want to check anyway. But Gillisley is a sneaky play this week.
Yeah, for the Bills in Miami, I'll start on Buffalo's side. Robert Woods did not suit up for Friday's practice, but LeSean McCoy did, despite the hamstring injury. Went through positional drills, so that's something to watch. He's obviously coming off some recent success, so you do want to watch and see where he's going to be there. But Mike Gillisley is not a bad play. You know, he's a flex position. If you have space for three running backs, he's not a bad person to put out there. On Miami's side of it, you know, it's tough. It's definitely tough. They pulled out a stunner against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but most recently. But Ryan Tannehill is not a play for me. Jay Ajayi is somebody who I look to in this game as potentially being an effective player, but once again, it comes down to consistency. Jarvis Landry is not a bad play in the game. So I would say Landry, I would have a hesitant yes for Jay Ajayi, and that's all for Miami. On Buffalo's side, you know, I think in all honesty, Mike Gillisley, not a bad one. Watch LeSean McCoy, see where he sits in this one before everything is said and done. And Tyrod Taylor, depending on who you have, he's not a bad opportunity at quarterback just because of the fact that they're playing Miami. Next game that we have up in the final 1 o'clock game, Baltimore at New York for the Jets. Who do you have in this one?
Well, this is the battle of neither team has a quarterback, really. Geno Smith is going to be coming out for the Jets, you know, after Fitzpatrick's debacle for the first several weeks here. But he didn't look much better coming in. So hopefully you're not in a position where you need to pick up or start a Geno Smith. And then looks like Ryan Mallett might get the start on the other side of the ball. Looks like Joe Flacco may sit out this week. Still a question mark up in the air. Had a shoulder injury, but it looks like he may sit out through the bye week, through week 8. So this could be a Mallett versus Smith, which that doesn't bode well for anybody. However, if you have a couple players on the offensive side of the ball, you're still going to do all right. They're going to have to run the ball in New York, so that's good for Forte. They're going to dump the ball off to the tight end a lot in Baltimore, so that's good for Dennis Pitta. And, of course, they're going to run the ball a lot on that side of the ball, too, so that's good for Terrence West. If you have Brandon Marshall, he's still a wide receiver 1. He's on the low end of that spectrum, but they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody, and he's going to be the guy. So very few guys, kind of spotty game, not looking for a lot of score, but there may be a lot of score because these quarterbacks may turn the ball over a lot.
Yeah, in all honesty, if it was up to me, I would say that if you have Baltimore's defense, play Baltimore's defense. If you have the Jets' defense, you can consider the Jets' defense because Joe Flacco, Kamar Aiken, Steve Smith Sr., all injured out there for the team. So, you know, ground and pound, I guess, maybe we're looking at for Baltimore that there's going to be, you know, Terrence West obviously has had some good moments, so to put him out there. Mike Wallace is a guy that maybe I leave off this week, but Terrence West is somebody that I would put out there. Neither quarterback for either team. And then as far as the Jets go, you might see Geno rely a little bit on Matt Forte, but he's somebody who puts it on his legs, puts it on his arm. I think it's going to hurt everybody. So Brandon Marshall, like Mike said, if anybody's going to survive fantasy-wise by getting some points this week, it would be Brandon Marshall for the Jets, of anybody on the Jets. But I don't like either quarterback, either situation. If you have the Jets defense, maybe you play them. If you have the Ravens defense, you play that defense. Because Geno Smith, and I've stuck by this since day zero, is not an NFL quarterback. The 4 o'clock games, Tampa Bay at San Francisco. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I like Tampa Bay in this game. I think the San Francisco is a catastrophe waiting to happen here. They don't look good. I know they had peaked a little bit last week. Colin was able to play, but I wouldn't start him. I wouldn't even have him on my team right now. Mike Davis looks like he might shoulder most of the load. Sean Jaron might get some of the pass touches out because it looks like Carlos Hyde may be dinged up and may be out. So watch if you have Carlos Hyde. Make sure he's not going to play before you do anything else. But you could do a lot worse than Colin, but he's a number 19 quarterback this week. On the other side of the ball, Jameis Winston should have an okay day. He's a low-end QB1, high-end QB2. I got him 13 overall. And Mike Evans is just a beast. He's going to have a field day this week. Tampa's going to have to throw the ball to somebody. Vincent Jackson's down. They're not getting the tight end play they need to get. They're not getting the slot play. Although Humphreys has looked all right in a few touches. I think Jacquizz Rodgers looks like he may get the start this week, too, above Doug Martin. Doug Martin appears to have had a setback in that injury. So I got Quiz ranked as a low-end running back one this week, provided he gets the nod.
Yeah, Jacquizz Rodgers coming off of a win over the Carolina Panthers where he had 30 carries for 101 yards. Not too shabby at all for him. He's somebody to definitely put out there if you have someone. You could probably go pick him up right now. I can't imagine that he is gone in many leagues, and especially if you're digging deep in some of the leagues that you have that have, you know, 12 to 14 owners. Jacquizz Rodgers is somebody to go out and give an opportunity to, and Mike Evans as well. I like them both for Tampa Bay. I'm not against Jameis Winston in this game because it's San Francisco. I know there's better quarterbacks out there, but I'm saying, depending on what you have, I'm not against Jameis Winston in this one. I like Jacquizz Rodgers. I like Mike Evans. For the 49ers, it looks like Carlos Hyde, you know, that injury is something that could keep him out and definitely has prevented him from being in practice. Torrey Smith, nothing to write home about for him, but he has been hurt as well, so you definitely want to pay attention to that. And Doug Martin, it does look like there has been a setback, and Vincent Jackson is on IR, so you got to watch all of those. So for San Francisco, I'm sitting here trying to figure out who I could tell you to play, and I really don't have anybody. So, I mean, for Tampa, I gave you my three, but for San Francisco, I really got nothing to say as far as San Francisco is concerned. And then going into the next game, San Diego at Atlanta, what do you have for this, Mike?
Well, I think the big three in Atlanta are something that you're going to need to pay attention to in this game. I've got Julio, the number one wide receiver this week. I got Matt Ryan, the number one quarterback this week. So there's a good stack for you in daily fantasy play. In daily fantasy play, you can afford those two guys if you budget well and you take advantage of some guys like Jacquizz Rodgers and Mike Gillisley and maybe Mike Davis. You can afford those low-end guys because you're buying these high-end guys and they'll balance out. And you may do yourself some favors in daily. But, you know, if you have a Freeman or a Ryan or a Julio on your roster, you need to go ahead. Those guys are just penciled in and start every week. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Now, it does help that they're playing a weak San Diego defense. San Diego and, you know, I don't know who has a weaker secondary, San Diego or New Orleans. Both those teams give up some points there. But in order to match those points, Phillip Rivers is going to have to throw the ball. So I got him as a QB1, and Melvin Gordon's going to have to catch the ball and run the ball well. I got him as a top-flight running back this week as well. Travis Benjamin, not so much. He's a low-end wide receiver, too, this week. And if you have Hunter Henry, he's a definite start this week. The Falcons give up a ton of yardage and touchdowns to tight ends. Hunter Henry could tackle Gronk this week as the number one tight end.
It's funny, Mike, because you said you didn't know who had the worst secondary, San Diego or New Orleans. The answer is Cleveland. But San Diego at Atlanta, the big thing for this is, yes, Atlanta scores points, but they're playing on their coast. They're playing on the East Coast, so that's another important piece to this. I play Matt Ryan in this game. I play Devontae Freeman, and I would also look to play, you know, kind of going down the line here. Obviously, Julio Jones, there is no, there are very few wide receivers that can boast of a better beginning to their season than Julio Jones right now. Tevin Coleman, not bad to put out there as well. So Coleman, Freeman, if you got them both in a handcuff, good for you. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, I like them all in this game. Mohamed Sanu has been going through some injuries, so just make sure you watch him, but he hasn't had a great season thus far, so that's not anybody that I'd rush to put out there. Phillip Rivers, this could be a high-scoring game, so I would lean on his side, but more on Matt Ryan's side. Melvin Gordon, somebody else that's good to put out there. And Hunter Henry, I picked him up. I had a conversation going into the season right here on Fantasy Football Friday, inside a wake-up call with Dan Satora. Mike and I spoke about Hunter Henry, and I said to Mike, this is a guy that just sneak in, you pick up in free agency, you get in the last round of the draft, nobody's thinking about him, and I guarantee you he takes over at some point, and that's what he's done for the last few weeks. So you put Hunter Henry out there and Melvin Gordon. Phillip Rivers, not a bad one, but if it's between Rivers and Ryan, I'm going with Matt Ryan. New England at Pittsburgh, what do you have for this one?
Well, Tom Brady is always a must-start, so if you're fortunate enough to have Tom Brady and you were patient, you're going to be paid dividends here for the rest of the year, but he's definitely a top-flight quarterback. LeGarrette Blount could be a running back, too, this week. I look for what they're doing with James White out of the backfield, passing the ball a little more. James White is that passing down guy that you know, they need back there with Tom Brady, especially. On the other side of the ball, Landry Jones, I don't think I'd be in a rush to start him, but you know, Le'Veon Bell is going to get a lot of opportunities with Big Ben being out for a couple of weeks. I got him as a top-flight running back this week. Definitely a start there as an RB1. And Antonio Brown's going to take a little bit of a ding, but if you have Antonio Brown, again, he's one of those must-start guys. It doesn't matter who's throwing the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball, and he's the guy they're going to throw it to. So if you have AB, of course, you want to start him. Going back to wide receiver on the other side of the ball, of course, Gronk is almost like a wide receiver, so you want to make sure he's in your roster. And Martellus Bennett, too, because he opens things up underneath, because sometimes they have to double up on Gronk. Julian Edelman's a good wide receiver, too. This is a guy that they're going to throw the ball to. So, you know, you want the guys that are going to, you know, get the looks, get the targets, get the opportunities to score some points for you. And anybody on New England's side of the ball is going to do that. And this week, if you have Bell or AB only, those are the Steelers to start.
Literally adding insult to injury, or if not the other way around, after losing to the Miami Dolphins, the Pittsburgh Steelers have D'Angelo Williams injured and didn't practice recently. Marcus Wheaton didn't practice recently, and Ben Roethlisberger could miss up to 6 weeks. So the insult to injury is truly alive in this one. If you have Le'Veon Bell, that's the guy that you put out there. Antonio Brown, like Mike said, how could you not? But every quarterback has their receiver. Who thought that Kobe Hamilton was going to get a touchdown pass? But he did. So, you know, when you look and you move forward, Eli Rogers, maybe somebody to look at in a flex position type of situation. But Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell is really all I got to say for Pittsburgh. On New England's side, they luck out again. They're playing a team that's depleted, and they obviously have a good record. They're 5-1. Currently, and Tom Brady is somebody you put out there, as well as Rob Gronkowski, Martellus Bennett, your two best options for the team. Julian Edelman, not a bad option, but Gronk and Martellus Bennett are the two that I really, really like in this one. And James White is a guy to watch and, you know, kind of see where things go with him, see what he can do at this point. And then, you know, maybe if I had to pick one other player, you can look at someone like LeGarrette Blount and give him an opportunity and see what he's capable of, because he has shown good things. And the Steelers are obviously going through a little bit of an issue. They came out strong, and now they're kind of playing back on their heels a little bit at a very inopportune time. So this defense is going to have a lot of pressure on them, which could mean for a lot of scoring for the New England Patriots if you got them, play them when it comes to New England. Sunday Night Football, Seattle at Arizona, what do you got?
Well, this should be a low-scoring affair. That's what the defenses would dictate on both of these teams. Seattle and Arizona both have wonderful defenses, but they both can run the ball, and that might open things up for them. Christian Michael, of course, has been hauling the rock for the Seattle Seahawks. He's the top flight running back this week. And, of course, David Johnson's arguably one of the best players in the league. So this is a guy that you want to wheel out there week after week. And Jimmy Graham's been lighting it up lately on the tight end position for Seattle. So this is a guy you may want to, you know, if you got him, you're definitely starting him. But some of the other guys are mid-tier guys this week, like a Doug Baldwin, Larry Fitzgerald. Those guys are low-end wide receiver twos this week. Quarterback two this week, Russell Wilson as well, because of the defenses. So we'll see what happens here. But this looks like a situation where it's going to be a lot of running the ball and a lot of defense.
Yeah, as it stands right now, Jimmy Graham still questionable with a couple injuries that he has right now. Has been limited. Carson Palmer at quarterback for Arizona, hamstring injury. He practiced in a limited capacity Thursday. And Jerron Brown, he was a non-participant recently in practice with a knee injury. And John Brown didn't take part in practice. So both Browns are two guys that you might want to stay away from in this one, depending on their health and where they're at as they move forward. David Johnson for Arizona is the one that I really, really like in this, if I have to choose. Either one of their defenses is not a bad play because there could be some special teams and defensive scoring. But, you know, Fitz, maybe you put Larry Fitzgerald out there. But really for Arizona, I'd consider their defense. I'd play David Johnson. For Seattle, I'd consider their defense as well. And, you know, Christian Michael, not a bad play for the team. I don't think there's going to be a lot of passing going on here. Jimmy Graham is somebody to think about, but I do like it. I like the running games, and I like the defense and special teams in this one. I like Michael, and I like David Johnson in this game. And finally, the last game to talk about we have here is Houston at Denver for Monday Night Football. What do you think about this one?
Well, this is another bad quarterback bowl. The only thing that makes an interesting storyline is this is Osweiler's return to Denver. Osweiler has not lit it up, and it looks like John Elway's the smartest guy in the world right now for letting him go on that giant contract. It looks like so far he could be a bust. But, you know, they still have to play the game. Denver does have a dynamic defense, and they're going to know how to scheme against them. So I definitely look for Denver to pull this game out. Both running backs are guys you want to make sure are in your lineup here. C.J. Anderson's been toting a rock well. Watch out for Devontae Booker. He's going to get his share of touches. They're trying to make it so he gets more touches and more time on the field as well. He looks good when he comes on. And then that fuels C.J. as well. That gives him a little more incentive as well because he sees how good Booker's running the ball. Lamar Miller is definitely a guy you want to start as well. I know he's had his ups and downs in the quarterback position, or the lack of a quarterback on the team hasn't done him any favors. But this is a guy who's going to get the touches. He's going to catch the ball out of the backfield, so you definitely want to start him. And he finally looks like he's coming around a little bit. So I'm thinking their offensive line is suspect there, though. Both big wide receivers on both sides of the ball, Demaryius Thomas and Nuke Hopkins, are low-end wide receiver twos this week. You could do a lot worse, but you could also do a lot better. So looks like the Broncos are going to walk away with this. If you have the Broncos defense, definitely start them as well against Osweiler, who has not looked good.
Yeah, I was going to very easily say play the Denver defense and then just kind of slowly walk out of the room in a Family Guy type fashion. But I mean, it's kind of how I feel about this one. You know, I'm not against Devontae Booker. I think that Houston, I had this conversation with Jason, who called into the show a little while ago. We had the conversation off the air that I really, really think that Houston just isn't as good as they look. They're not as good as 4-2. And I feel like I turn my head to the side and I look back, and all of a sudden Houston's got all these wins and not a lot of losses, but I don't really put it on them 100% that they have all of this talent that's bringing this about. I just feel like they get found out at one point or another. So, you know, Demaryius Thomas, Devontae Booker, I like them. Mike was right. Devontae has obviously taken it from C.J. Anderson. He does more with less. He had 5 carries for 46 yards in the last game. C.J. Anderson had 10 carries for 37. So doing more with less is important, especially if you want to take that starting job. Osweiler, listen, When a guy's a backup and he's asking, he's demanding money like he won two Super Bowls, that's a red flag. And that red flag is waving in a big, big way right now. And it's going to wave even higher, and the white flag might even come out depending on what happens. This game is in Denver, so I am siding with the Broncos in this one. I am siding with their defense and special teams. Lamar Miller is not bad to put out there for the team, nor is DeAndre Hopkins. But like Mike said, you can do better. So Hopkins, we'll see how well he comes out of this game. Lamar Miller as well, but not bad plays. The best plays, in my opinion, are Devontae Booker and the Denver defense and special teams. Demaryius Thomas, how could you not put him out there? So that's another guy to look out for as well. So we have run through the gamut here, and Dallas and Carolina are off. So, Mike, I want to say, as always, thank you for being a part of Fantasy Football Friday and the other voice for people to listen to. And they can get to you 24/7 on HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com. So I appreciate it.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next time, Dan. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Mike. I want to put a special thanks out with a couple minutes here left in the show. I want to thank everybody that was a part of today's show. It was a jam-packed show filled with 12 guests. So I want to say thank you. And we're going to go all the way down the line here. So a special thanks to every single guest I had on today's show, which included Matt Rule of Temple, as well as Willie Taggart of South Florida, Mike Norvell of Memphis, Willie Fritz of Tulane, Scott Frost of Central Florida, Tommy Tuberville of Cincinnati, Justin Fuente of Virginia Tech and his thoughts on Syracuse, Steve Adazio of Boston College and his thoughts on Syracuse, Dino Babers, head coach of the Syracuse Orange, my extensive one-on-ones with Syracuse defensive end Dejon Wilson, as well as Syracuse wide receiver Amba Adetawo, and my one-on-one conversation with the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference that was truly one for the ages, and that is Mike Oresko. I want to thank Mike Sofka for being a part of the show, as always, with Fantasy Football Friday in the last hour of every Friday broadcast of Wake Up Call Live. I want to thank Jason, longtime listener and caller, to call back in the show. It's been a minute, Jason, so thank you. Calling in from Maryland to talk on Syracuse football. I want to thank every single partner I work with. And go to Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, the premier place to watch football. Watch the Syracuse BC game, and they have the NFL ticket as well. So go out there, Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York. And get in touch with me on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. On Twitter at CallDT, that's CallDT. Thank you to all my business partners. Thank you to a phenomenal, phenomenal event for Kickoff for Kids and to McMahon Ryan Child Advocacy Center, the SRC Arena, and my beautiful, wonderful wife, Kate. God bless. It's my birthday, son, and it's Syracuse Media Day, so I'll be out there too. At some point today, I'll take a break. I love you. God bless you. Happy birthday to me. I'll talk to you soon.